All right, first is Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. He says here in verse 24, "Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." That's Mark 11, 24. Now, if we notice here, there is nothing here in the natural that would basically we have to hold on to. This is strictly believing, because he did say believe, and he didn't say feel, did he? He didn't say see, did he? He didn't even say understand, did he? He said, believe that ye receive them, and ye what? Shall have them. So what happens if I don't believe I receive them? Then according to this, I shall not have them. Now they may be mine, but I have to believe that I've received them. Now, let's go over now to Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the substance, verse 1, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen or not perceivable by the senses. And in the Amplified, it says this, "Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now, like I said to you before, this is a place that a lot of people get off the boat, because you have to trust in God. You have to trust His Word. You have to move beyond the realm of what we call sense knowledge. Sense knowledge always faces human limitations. But once you jump into faith, faith is beyond sense knowledge. It comes by how? Hearing. And hearing by the word of who? Of God. So if somebody wants to have faith for something, they've got to hear the word on it. If they haven't heard the word, how do they have faith on it? For it. So you've got to have faith, because faith is a substance that comes from the word, through the word, into your heart, that when it's released with a believing heart, it will create or dominate or bring to pass whatever it says. That's what it says here when it talks about that, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void." God guarantees that the word will produce whatever it says. Amen. Guarantees. Now, the reason why he can guarantee it is because of John chapter 1. In the beginning was the what? Word. The word was with who? God. And the word was who? God. You see, God is his word. He is his word. The tendency that religion has to separate God from his word. You can't do it. They're all one. So whenever you have his word, you got him. Amen. And what has happened is we read some novel or something, that's a dead letter. That's a dead word. That's just some intellectual whatever. This is alive. This is alive. It'll do whatever it says. It's alive. It's just as alive as you are. It'll do whatever it says. Just send the word. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, now, so what we said basically is we're talking about the faith that takes faith that takes. And here it says that faith is the evidence. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence. Now, notice what it says. Faith is the evidence. Faith is the evidence, not the fact that the pain has left. That's not your evidence. See, that's not your evidence. Not the fact that you feel better. That's not your evidence. That's not your evidence. Don't let that affect you. Okay? So faith itself is the evidence, and it will change how you feel and your circumstances of life. Faith will do that. Now, like I said, God is really asking many of us now to do no longer ordinary things. But now he's moving us into the extraordinary things. Because that's what is going to be needed really to solve some of these problems of the world, because they've gotten so severe. But faith will do the job. I said faith will do the job. All right, now, what we said here is that we want the faith that takes. Now, what it says here is that this faith that we want is a faith that reaches out by faith, that we reach out by faith, and we take hold of what things the Father has already provided for us. Now, this is interesting, because some people are trying to get God to do something, but he's already done it. And what we're doing by faith is reaching out and taking hold of what the Father's already provided for us. Now, in this lifetime, now, anything in this earthly existence, we say, well, when we all get to heaven, okay, we're going to sing and shout the victory right down here, right now, even before you get there, because you can have those things right now in this earthly existence. So, now, this faith that takes, reaches out and takes hold of the things that belong to us, that are consistent with a godly life. Well, let me show you that scripture, since you all the way back there. Let's just look here in 1 Peter, please, and look at 1 Peter, and pardon me, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Because I want you to know there are some limitations on what you can reach out and get. You can't reach out and get that lady's pocketbook. Okay. So look what it says here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Have you got it? Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to what? Life and what? Godliness through the what? Knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, these things that are according to life and godliness, these are the things that God has given unto us. Now, these things, God says, already belong to us. So the New Testament is the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this New Testament describes for us the things God has already given to us or already provided for us in the covenant. Do you have that? Do you have that? Say yes. All right. And many people we found has a faith that waits, and they're waiting for God to do something. But we want to have the faith that takes, because God has already done something. And we believe it, and God now is waiting on us to receive it. Say amen to that. Now, in this, last time we talked about confidence. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, what can I do with this faith myself in terms of my own, can I say, needs or desires? What can I do with this faith? What can this faith do for me? Now, understand, this New Testament describes everything that's already been given to you. already, healing is already yours. So what can I do with this faith? I can access my healing. Now, suppose the healing, the doctor said, it's impossible. Got it? Now, remember what I said when I said about sense knowledge. Sense knowledge is knowledge that has come through the mind or experience or the intellect or natural training. What I said is sense knowledge always faces human limitations. See? And that's their training. And well, they say, well, this doesn't get healed. Well, I know you damage your arm. You probably never use that arm again. So forth and so on. It always has these human limitations. But what about faith? What about faith now? See, all things are possible to him that what? That believes. See, once I get into this realm, I've just left that realm. So all of those limitations have gone away. And my regard is to let God be true and every man be a liar. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying what they're not doing the best job they can, but if they're not in faith, then they're not, you're not getting the fullness of your provisions. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. All right. Now, as we look at this confidence. Now, let's deal with this for just a minute. He said in verse 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of what? Reward. For you have need of what? Patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might, or put in your Bible, may receive the promise. You got it? Now that, I just told you a real key. I just told you substitute might with may. Okay? All right? Because this is a law that you're dealing with here. And it's called the law of faith. Can I show you that particular, hold something right there. Am I turning you too much to too many things? All right, look at Romans chapter 3, please. Romans chapter 3, let me know when you get there. Come on. Whew. Sound like an auctioneer, don't it? Take it, 5, 5, 5. Okay, look what it says in verse 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? No, but by the what? Law of faith. Faith is a law. What is a characteristic of a law? It works every time. Not hoping it's going to work. If somebody jumps off this building, it will work every time. Okay? All right? Now let's go back. Let's go back over to confidence again. All right? So what we said in terms of confidence is that you and I have to get confidence. It means a trusting or reliance as an assurance of mind and firm belief in integrity. A trusting. So we are to have confidence. Cast not away therefore your what? Confidence. And I gave you some examples last time, and I told you that flying airplanes, when I first went to fly and go to pilot training, I didn't have that much confidence. I was afraid. I went up in that little airplane, and then he was doing lazy eights. And then one time he said, okay, now we're going to practice spins. And at practice spins, you go up there, and then he puts the airplane in a spin, and you got to get the airplane out, you know, before it hits the ground. You know. And boy, let me tell you, my heart racing and so forth. You know, I get this airplane out. Now, you don't do that with a jet. You do that with a little light airplane. But there's a spin recovery technique. And then after you do it a couple of times or a few days or a couple of months, and then you get used to it, that you hold the airplane back and hold the nose up until it stalls out, and then it goes into a spin. And then you got to get it. And so pretty soon you get confidence. Now, what are they doing? They're building more and more confidence as you go, because they don't do spins the first time you go up. They don't do that. You probably won't go up anymore. But they work your confidence up. ever so slowly, they do various things, so forth, and get your confidence up. Now, after you finish that phase, you go into light jets. And then you have to go into that. Now you got to have another degree of confidence. And you say, wow, this thing is going fast. It's going too fast for me, and so forth. So you learn to stay ahead of it all the time. Then you go into high performance jets. And I told you, then you go and get your assignment, or you go and do formation, and you have to trust the one who is in the front of you, and you are flying formation. Formation is where you see Blue Angels or the Thunderbirds, and those people fly, and they fly close together, and they all like in one line and just wherever they go. But you're, as a wingman, my eye is on the light and the star. So he has a wing here, and on the side of his fuselage, he has a big star that indicate USA. And he has a light on the tip of his wing. So I take that light in the F4, a Phantom, and put it right on the star. And I keep that light on the star, and it keeps me in the right lineup with him all the time, whoever the pilot is. And wherever he goes, I go. Now, I don't know where he's going because I'm not looking at my instruments. I'm not looking at anything except the light on the star. And I, wherever he goes and he takes a steep turn and sometimes go all the way over, I go right over with him. But I don't know I'm going over. I'm just following him. I'm not even aware of where the ground is, where the sun, so forth and so on. I'm just following him. So my confidence has to be in his leadership. You got what I'm saying? I've got to have confidence that this man is not going to run me into the ground. Are you following what I'm saying? And you don't get to be a flight lead until you worked up proficiency, of course. But that's my confidence. So I'm just saying, this is the confidence that we have in him. In him. You're not, who is him?
God.
Who wrote the book? God, all right. I know men wrote it, but they wrote through the inspiration of God. But it's a confidence that we have in him, that you line up on him. You line up on him and you just keep your eye on him, that he's going to get you back to the home drome. He's going to get you back to your resting place. But you just keep your eye on him. You don't have to look at anything else. Just keep your eye on him. That's what I'm saying. Because the tendency is that the enemy is going to try or would try to distract you and get your eye off of him. See, and when you do that, now you're on your own. You don't have any confidence, see, but you keep your eye on him. So let's just see an example of that. If you put something right there, I'm going to come right back. Okay, come on back to 2 Kings chapter 19, please. 2 Kings chapter 19. I don't see how anybody could miss these teachings. 2 Kings chapter 19. They obviously don't know they're going on. This is some important stuff, folks. I'm gonna give you something tonight. I'm gonna help you tonight. You young ladies, y'all gonna be thanking me. Y'all gonna be talking about how sharp I am after I finish. What can I say? Okay, that's all right. Okay, now look at 2 Kings chapter 19. Have you got it? All right. This is Hezekiah. And Hezekiah basically has been surrounded by the Assyrians, and they have taken the fenced cities. In other words, they have gone besieged some of the people of Judah and Israel, and they have taken them captive. I mean, they have won out over them and so forth. This is mainly because Israel, of course, was back there and worshiping poles and serpents on poles and so forth. All right, so they came on him and they approached Hezekiah and they took the fenced cities of Judah, and they came to Hezekiah and began to tell him what they have done. And then Hezekiah then kind of began to back off. Turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. And let's just look at what Hezekiah did. Verse 15, 2 Kings 18 and verse 15. And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. And in that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars of which Hezekiah of Judah had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. Now, what is he trying to do? He's trying to get the bad guy to back off. But how many of you know the devil doesn't quit till he takes all you have got? So ain't no use in doing that. You may as well fight him from Jump Street. Okay? All right. So the king of Syria, and you go on down here, and he began to say things to Hezekiah and talk loud and talk in the Hebrew tongue so the people of Israel could hear him, Judah could hear him, and they'd be afraid. And look what he said in verse 19. And Rabshakeh said unto them, Speak you now to Hezekiah. Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trusteth? What confidence is this wherein thou trusteth? So the devil is after your confidence. So he's saying, now what are you leaning on? What are you trusting in? What are you relying on? Because if you're relying on God, then already he's given me some of your people already. So he's trying to do this. Now, it wasn't God who did that, by the way, all right? It was their own getting away from his covenant promises. Look at verse 20. Thou sayest, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? Now behold, thou trusteth upon the staff of this bruised reed, even upon Egypt. In other words, you going down to Egypt to get some help? Can't nobody help you get out of my, you know, I'm taking you over. So then verse 23, now therefore I pray thee, give pledges to my lord, the king of Assyria, and I'll deliver thee 2,000 horses, if thou be able on thy part to set riders upon them. In other words, you're so weak. You know what I mean? And I mean, he's just talking about it. So Hezekiah really doesn't know what to do. And look at verse 2 of chapter 19. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and of Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth to who? Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. Lord, have mercy. All right? So, verse 6, and Hezekiah and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say unto your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which you've heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon them, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. I'm not going to even let him die on your land. Okay? Now, this is interesting, because this came from the prophet Isaiah. Thus saith who? The Lord. Okay? So now, verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel. I won't read the rest of it. Verse 20. Then Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Got it? Look at what happened as a result. Look at verse 34. For I will defend this city and save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and did what? Smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. He smote them. And then if you read further, then the king went back into his own country and he got smitten. My point to you is that God, they needed a word from God. Why? Because it brings confidence. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. if we ask anything according to his will. So what Hezekiah did is he went up and he got the letter from Isaiah and spread it before the Lord. I've done that before. I have taken this Bible, opened it up to that page, circle it, and spread it before the Lord. Now, understand, the Lord knows exactly what he said, but nothing in this covenant is automatic. Some folk are waiting on God, but he's waiting on you. He said, put me in remembrance of what I have spoken. So now he spoke and prayed to God based on what word? The word that Isaiah, come on with me, the word that Isaiah sent. So the word that Isaiah sent was from the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. So it was the will of God. So he prayed the will of God. God knows your problem. You don't need to tell him that one more time. He is not waiting on your problem. He's waiting to hear his answer be returned to him. So now I'm telling you why a lot of people have not manifested anything. So now what happens is I go over to 1 John. Come on over there, please. And 1 John chapter 5. 1 John. I'm getting this over to you. Because if the church can get this, I'm telling you, the days of the church being in lack, being broke, busted, disgusted, and in all kinds of situations that they have not been able to get out of, because the enemy in your own strength is more powerful than you. You don't need your own strength. Your own strength can't do that. Folks, it's like anything. It's marriage. Your own strength many times can't get that out of that marriage problem because you need faith. The devil is on it. And the devil is on it. He wants you to get in your own strength without faith. Without faith, you can't overcome him. And you got to get back in faith. And to get faith, you got to find out what God said. Because faith only comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. And so now when I hear the word of God, look what it says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. For this is the what? Confidence that we have in who? Him. That if we ask, come on, anything according to his what? Will, what does he do? He hears us. Now, let's turn it around. If we don't ask according to his will, what happens? He doesn't hear us. So don't be trying to make God hear you, and you're asking out of line with his covenant. So the best way to get his will to him is get the covenant scripture and read it to him. This is the confidence. This is what you said. Say amen to that. Now, you're not trying to confront God. You're coming boldly to the throne of grace. And look what it says in verse 15. And if we know that he hear us, I put S on that. If you know that he hear us, whatever we ask, that sounds like whatsoever things you desire. See, we're trying to limit God, but if it's according to life and godliness, it's in the realm of your possibility. It's in the realm of what God wants to do for you. So if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we what? Have the petition that we desired of him. Now, how do we know he hears us? How do we know that he heard us? Because we ask how? According to his will. Where's his will found? So if I don't know his word, I may not know his will. And I may be waiting 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Now understand, whatsoever things you desire, keep going, when you pray, believe you receive them. Now suppose I don't believe I've received it when I pray. Then I am out of the will of God. I'm going to give you a minute to get that. Suppose I do not believe I receive when I pray. I am out of the will of God. One more time. Suppose I don't believe I've received when I prayed. then I am what? Out of the will of God. So I showed you in the scriptures where it says, ask and keep on asking. That was the Amplified. I said, that is not the way that is interpreted in the Greek. You don't ask but one time. Because if you ask and believe you receive it, why would you ask me again? So we have two scriptures here that says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you've received them and you shall have them. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have. We know we have. We know we have. Not going to get. We know we have. We know that we have. Now, what are we limited to? Whatever's in the Bible. Whatever's in the Garden of Eden, that's what you eat. Whatever's in the Bible, is that your provision? And in the Bible is wealth and riches are in your house. In the Bible is by his stripes you are healed. In the Bible, victory in your marriage. In the Bible, all you have to do is go through the Bible. Now, the devil can't stop you if you have faith. If you believe you receive when you pray, now he can't touch you. His job now is to make you drop your confidence. His job is to make you, through looking a little bit worse than it did from the start, to make you think it's not working. But that's where you've got to done all you can do to stand is just stand. Because it is working. I said it is working. Now let's prove that. Turn to Daniel chapter 3, please. Chapter 10, please. Daniel chapter 10. Are you following me? Now you've taken the limits off of your life. It doesn't make any difference. I'm not saying that you pay for it. I said that you believe you've received it. It didn't say you feel like you received it, isn't it? I'm talking about going outside of your bank account. I'm talking about going outside of, because all that belongs to you anyway. If God wants to get it through you, through giving you some money to purchase it, that's fine. But I know a man that got a house so big, $7.5 million, and didn't do anything but believe. And the next thing you know, a man called him up, said, God told me to give you my house and I take yours. The man had a $250,000 house in a mortgage. And this man had a $7.5 million house paid for. He walked them through it, double doors, onyx stone, waterfall in the house, everything. I'm saying gave it to him. Now other people like me and my wife, he gave us the money to get it. I'm just saying either way God wants to do it, he can do it. But my job is to believe, come on, I receive when? Not now. All right. Are y'all with me? Suppose I need insight on a certain scripture. I want to know what God said about it. What does this scripture mean, Lord? How can I get it? Same thing. I can meditate it. Right. Okay. But also, you can use the same thing. You can go to God and say, hey, you know, you promised me that the secret things will be revealed. Amen. And you can believe you've received. Come on. I do that and some 3 or 4 days later, there it is. It pops up. It works for anything according to life and godliness. I'm almost done. Man. Y'all got just a little bit more time. I'm just about done. All right, what did I tell you to go, please? Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10, here's Daniel, he prayed. Got it? Verse 2, in those days I, Daniel, in the morning 3 full weeks, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh or wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole full weeks were fulfilled. Now Daniel was asking God some things, and he needed to hear from God. Verse 10, and behold, and a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon my palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken the word unto me, I stood trembling. Now, this is Gabriel who came to him with the word. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before God, thy words were what? Heard. And I am come for thy what? I'm come for your words. Daniel, I know you've been standing for 3 weeks, but understand, you were standing because I had a fight going on. I was trying to get through the heavenlies and the prince of Persia. I had to call for some backup. You know, sometimes you have to call for some backup. I had to call for Michael, the archangel of war, and he came and cut me through there, and I brought you the word. So sometimes a word is delayed, but delayed is not denial. You got what I'm saying? All right? Now, so I won't do any more with that. I got some more things for that, but I won't do anything with that because I want to just cover this last part. So this is a confidence that we have in him. Let's go back to that again, John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5. Wow, I didn't mean to preach that hard, boy. I tell you, that was coming out of me. Okay? Now, how do you know somebody hears you when you pray? You have to have confidence that somebody's listening to you. Because you can open your eyes and you can't see God. So you have to believe and have confidence that somebody's listening. Think about it. So he is. And when we teach on the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, you'll find that a lot of people don't even have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a person. He's with you right now. He's your guide. He's your helper. He's your intercessor. So now what you have to do is that you have to have confidence that somebody's listening. And in Hezekiah's case, how did he know God heard him? I just read the thing. I just read it now. He sent his runners. He sent his runners over there to Isaiah. The prophet spoke a word from God. It came back to him. He spread the word before the Lord in the temple and prayed. He prayed the word, and so God heard. But how did he know God heard in that particular situation? The prophet, y'all remember? The prophet sent another word, turn back. Man, I ain't never seen nothing like this. I really haven't, folks. I ain't never seen nothing like this. Look at 2 Kings chapter 19, please. You ain't gonna frustrate me. I ain't gonna strike the rock. I'll get out of here before I strike that rock. Look what it said in verse 20. I ask you, how do you know that he heard? This is in the Old Testament, according to Scripture, verse 20. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Now, this is giving you a natural example of spiritual things. That if you ever pray God's word, he hears you. You don't need to hear him talk back. You don't need to be in heaven. You can just pray his word. And you find examples like this, which are designed to give you more confidence. That you are on a better covenant than Hezekiah was. All you have to do is pray his word. Now, what's going to fight that? Your flesh. Your flesh is going to fight it. Your flesh is going to tell you, I need to hear something. Your flesh is going to tell you, I need somebody to prophesy. Your flesh is going to tell you all this kind of stuff. And God will oblige you to a certain point, but at another point, he's going to want you to grow up. So you have nothing in the natural. Abraham had nothing in the natural to hold on to when God says, yeah, I've made you a father of a multitude. He had nothing in the natural. The only thing he had, God's word. The only thing you have, that wealth and riches are in your house,
God's word.
Now, you're not waiting on God to get wealth and riches in your house. He's waiting on you. Wealth is in, riches in your house, in mind of God, is already in your house. Got it? All right. So, verse 15, and if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we what? Have the what? Petitions that we desire of him. Now, I want you to underline the word petition. Petition. What is it? Petitions. All right? Now, let's look at a scripture in Esther. Esther chapter 5. Esther is before the book of Job. Esther chapter 5. I'll try to hold on to the things that I show you and teach you. Because if I'm teaching you too much, then I need to just come in here and just teach 15 minutes and go home. I don't let nothing go, folks. When God teaches me, the Holy Spirit teaches me every morning. Every morning I sit before him just like you stand, you sit before me. He teaches me. I come out with a lesson every morning. And I just hear him just like I hear you. Look what it says here, Esther, well, almost every morning I say that. Esther chapter 5. Now, you know the story of Esther. Esther was a queen, Queen Esther. And she was planted in the house of a king of a heathen kingdom. The king's name was Ahasuerus. And Ahasuerus had a queen named Vashti who went against him and did something and he fired her. And then he's got Esther in here. Now Esther is in here, but she's a Jew. And God knows what's going to be coming in the future. So he sets up for it. And many times when we are being used by God, we're being directed into things and we cannot, in our natural mind, explain it all. Because in the natural, maybe the Esther, a Jew, wasn't supposed to be in a heathen palace. But God put her there. But he put her there for such a time as this. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, so what happened is... Now, the king came out with a law because of this guy, wicked Haman, put him up to it, to kill all the Jews. So Esther's in place, and Esther's going to preserve the Jewish nation. And she's going to do it, one, through her faith, and that she had to come before the king and not be announced, but come before him unannounced, which almost guaranteed that she'd be executed because it is considered disrespect when you come into his court and he didn't call you. I don't care who it is. Doesn't make any difference. So she came, put on a royal apparel, chapter 5, and all that kind of stuff. And then she came and came before the king. And when she came before him, verse 3, and then the king said unto her, what will thou, Queen Esther, And what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, if it be seemed good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, cause Haman to make haste that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman came unto the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? And it shall be what? Granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Now, I want to read something to you out of the Amplified Translation. And this is Mark again, chapter 11, and chapter 11 and verse 24. He says this, For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it. I'll read it again. For this reason, I'm telling you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you, and you will get it. Anybody ever heard of a grant? Okay. Writing a grant. If you know anything about writing a grant, what I did is I looked up the word grant in the 1828 Webster Dictionary. Here's what it says grant means. This is one definition. To give, to bestow, or confer on without compensation. To give, to bestow, or confer on without Wait a minute, I've misspelled this word. That's why I can't say it. It ain't spelled right. Without compensation, particularly in an answer to prayer or request. So it's to give or to bestow or to confer on without compensation. So a grant is something that people want. Sometimes they're granted money to go to school, or granted money to have an organization, or granted, I want to write for this grant. I heard the Pell Grant is out there, so forth. The grant normally comes that you don't pay anything. The grant pays everything. Are you with me? So, so it shall be granted to you. Lord have mercy. I'm going to stop this. Okay, so here's what I want to tell you. I went and looked at a book by a guy named Dr. Cho. And he's got a book called The Fourth Dimension. Now, what he said is that he was studying faith, and this is when he was first starting his ministry. As you know now, he has one of the largest churches in the world. And he says, in certain ways, your faith works. It links you to the Heavenly Father. And that he said he was going to use his faith to believe God for something. So what he's going to do is he was going to use his faith to believe. He said, I was not married and was living in a small room. I had no desk, no chair, no bed, and I was eating on the floor, sleeping on the floor and studying on the floor, but walking miles and miles every day to carry out soul winning. But one day while reading the Bible, I was tremendously impressed by God's promises. And the Bible said that if I would just put my faith in Jesus, praying in his name, that I would receive anything or everything. And the Bible also taught me that I was the Son of God, a child of the King, and the child of the King. So I said, Father, why should a child of the King, King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, live without a desk, without a chair, without a bed, and walk a mile every day? Mile after mile every day, several miles, by the way. At least I should have a humble desk and a chair to sit on, or a humble bicycle to ride under my home visitations. And I felt, according to Scripture, I could ask for these things and these kinds of things in the Lord and from the Lord. So I knelt down and prayed, Father, now I'm praying. Please send me a desk, a chair, and a bicycle. And I believed and praise God. From that moment on, I was waiting for the delivery for each thing that I'd prayed for. A month passed, no answer. 2 months passed, 3 months passed, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, and still I'm waiting. But nothing was happening. Then one rainy day, I was depressed and had not had any food, or I was even hungry, tired and depressed, and I started complaining, Lord, Now, I asked you to supply me with this desk, a chair, and a bicycle several months ago. But you have not supplied me with these things. Now you see me as I am here preaching the gospel to the poverty-stricken people of this area. And how can I ask them to exercise faith when I cannot even practice it myself? How can I ask them to put their faith in the Lord and truly live by the word and not by bread alone? My Father, I am very discouraged, and I know I'm not sure about this, but I do know I cannot deny the word of God. The word must stand, and I am sure that you are going to answer me. But this time, I'm just not sure when or how. So if you're going to answer my prayers after my death, well, what kind of profit will that be for me? If you are ever going to answer my prayer, please speed it up, please. Then I sat down and began to cry. Suddenly I felt a serenity and a feeling of tranquility come into my soul. Whenever I have this kind of feeling, I sense the presence of God. He always speaks. So I waited. And then that still small voice welled up in my soul, and the Spirit said to me, "My son, I heard your prayer a long time ago." Right away, I blurted out, "Then where's my desk and my chair and my bicycle?" And the Spirit said to me, "Yes, that is the trouble with you and with all my children. They beg, they demand every kind of request, but they ask in such vague terms that I can't answer. Don't you know that there are at least 24 kinds of desks and chairs and bicycles? But you simply ask me for a desk, a chair, and a bicycle. You never ordered a specific desk or chair or bicycle." He said, Dr. Cho said, that was a turning point in my life. No professor in Bible college ever taught me along these lines. Then I said, "Lord, do you really want me to pray in definite terms?" This time, the Lord led me to turn to Hebrews 11 and 11th chapter. Faith is the substance of things. He said, those things are clear-cut things that are hoped for. I knelt down again, and I said, "Father, I'm sorry. I made a great mistake, and I misunderstood you, so I canceled all those prayers, and I'm going to start all over again." So I gave the size of the desk, which was to be made of Philippine mahogany, and I wanted the best kind of chair, one that was made with an iron frame and rollers on the tips so that I could sit on it and push myself around like a big shot. And then I came to the bicycle, and I really gave much consideration to this matter because there were so many kinds of bicycles, Korean bicycles, Japanese bicycles, promotion bicycles, German bicycles. But in those days, bicycles made in Korea and Japan were usually quite flimsy. So I wanted to have a strong, sturdy bicycle. And since any machine made in the U.S. was usually the best, I said, "Father, I want to have a bicycle made in the USA with gears on the side so that I could regulate my speed." So I ordered these things in such articulate terms that God could not make a mistake in delivering them. Then I felt faith following up, and out of my heart, I was rejoicing in the Lord. That night, I slept like a baby. But when I woke about 4:30 in the morning to prepare for the early morning prayer meeting, I suddenly found that my heart was empty. The evening before, I was full of faith. I had all the faith in the world. But while I slept, looked like faith took wings and left me. And I could not feel a thing in my heart. And I said, "Father, this is terrible. It is one thing to have faith, but it's entirely another thing to keep faith until you receive the answer. This is a trouble common to all Christians. They have a special guest speaker. They get all filled with faith in what the minister is saying. But before they reach their house, they have lost every bit of faith they had. So on the morning while I was reading the Bible and looking for a particular scripture to speak on, suddenly my eyes fell upon Romans 4:17. God raises the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. So I said to myself, I might as well just call those things which are not as though they were, as if I already had them. And I had received the answer to the problem of how to keep one's faith. So the how to keep one's faith, you have to call things, come on, that be not. So I rushed out to our tent church where the people had already begun praying, and after a few songs, it started preaching. I expounded on the scripture that said, folks, by the blessing of God, I have a desk made of Philippine mahogany, a beautiful chair with all iron frames and rollers on the tips, and a bicycle made in the USA with gears on the side. Praise God, I have received all these things. Then the people gasped, because they knew that I was absolutely poverty-stricken, and I was bragging about those things, and they could not believe their ears. In faith, I was really praising God, doing just as the Word of God told me. Well, after the service, as I was walking out, three young fellows followed me and said, Pastor, we want to see those things. And I was taken back. I was a little frightened because I had not counted on anybody asking me to show them those things. Then the people that were living in the slums, once they knew that I had lied, it would be my last time to minister at this church, and they would never come back again. I was in a terrible situation, so I began to pray, Lord, from the beginning, this wasn't my idea now. You thought of this. It was your idea for me to tell the people that. I just obeyed you, and now I'm in a terrible situation. And I said, I said it as if I had it. And now it's come to time to explain this. Now you got to help me, Lord. Then the Lord came to help me, and an idea floated up in my heart. And I said, well, you come on to my room and see. And they all came and looked around to find a bicycle, a chair, and a desk. And I said, now don't look around. He's saying, I pointed my picture to finger, Mr. Park, who is now pastor of one of the largest Assemblies of God churches in Korea, and said, I'll ask you a few questions. If you answer my questions, I'll show you all these things. How long were you in your mother's womb before you were born into this world? He stretched forth his hand and said, well, 9 months. And I then replied, what were you doing for 9 months in your mother's womb? I was growing. But I said, no one saw you, did they? No, no one could see me because I was inside my mother. Then he said, you were as much a baby inside your mother's womb as you were when you came out into this world. So you gave me the right answer. Last evening, I knelt down there and prayed to the Lord for my desk, chair, and bicycle. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I conceived it. It is as if it's inside of me right now, and it's growing right inside of me. And they are as much a desk, a chair, and a bicycle inside of me as when they come out on their delivery. So they started laughing, and they said, this is the first time we've ever seen a man pregnant with a bicycle, a chair, and a desk. And rushing out of the room, they began to spread the rumor all over the town that this minister was pregnant with a bicycle, a chair, and a desk. I could hardly walk through the town because women who were gathered looked at me and giggled. Mischievous youngsters would come on Sunday and touch my stomach and say, Pastor, how big is it coming now? How big is it? But all those days, I knew that I had every one of those things. It was growing inside of me. It just takes time. As a mother, it takes time to give birth to a child. It takes time for you, too, because you become pregnant with all of your clear-cut objectives. So I was praising God, and sure enough, when the time came, I had every one of those things. I had exactly all the things I had asked for. The desk was made out of Philippine mahogany with rollers on the tips so that I could roll around and act like a big shot and sit on it, and a slightly used bicycle with gears on the side from the American missionary son. And I brought that desk, chair, and bicycle to my house and was completely changed in my prayer attitude until the time I had always, until that time, I had always prayed in vague terms. But from that time until now, I have never prayed in vague terms. If God were ever to answer your vague prayers, then you wouldn't even recognize that it was your prayer. So you must ask definitely and specifically. The Lord never welcomes vague prayers. All right? So now, I won't go through this, but this is where a woman wanted a husband. Should I read this? Okay, all right. So, I said, "Sister, how long have you been praying for a husband?" She said, "For more than 10 years. "Why hasn't God answered your prayer for these more than 10 years?" I asked. "What kind of husband have you been asking for?" She shrugged her shoulders. "Well, that's up to God. God knows." "That's your mistake, sister. God never works by himself, but only through you. God is the eternal source, but he only works through your request. Do you really want me to pray for you?" She said, "Yes." "Okay, bring me a white piece of paper and a pencil. Let's sit down in front of me." And she sat down and said, "If you write down," if you write down the answer to my questions, then I'll pray for you. Number one, now, you really want a husband? But what kind of husband do you want? Asian? Caucasian? Black?" She said, "Caucasian." "Okay, write down number two. Do you want your husband to be tall, 6 feet, small, 5 feet, or what?" She said, "I want him to be tall." "Write down this number three. Do you want your husband to be slim, nice looking, pleasant, plump? What do you want?" She said, "I want him skinny." He said, "Write down skinny." Now, are y'all listening to me? Y'all ain't listening to me. I'm no, okay. Everything according to life and godliness. She asked for a husband that studied the word more than her. Didn't you ask for that? Did he give it to you? Say yes so they can hear you. Okay. "Write down skinny." He wrote that down. He said, "Do you want her to have any kind of hobby?" "Yes, musical." "Yes." "Okay, write down musical." Number five, "What kind of job do you want your husband to have?" "School teacher." "Okay, write down school teacher." Now, this is a long ways from, "Lord, send me anything." You getting it all right. Next thing you know, you're in my office, in Pastor Barnett's office, trying to get to. Not in my office, it's closed. "Okay, write down school teacher." I went through all these 10 points. And so she read each point, 1 through 10, in a loud voice. Then I said, "Close your eyes. Can you see them now?" She said, "I can see him clearly." "Okay, then let's order him now." Until you can see it clearly in your imagination, you can't order it. Because God will never answer that. You must see him clearly before you begin to pray. God never answers a vague prayer. Now, this is Dr. Cho. Okay? So she knelt down and I laid my hands on her. "Oh, God, now she knows her husband. I see her husband, and you know her husband. We order him in the name of Jesus Christ." Sister, take this written paper home now and paste it on the mirror. And every evening before you go to sleep, read these 10 points out loud every morning when you get up in the morning. And 1 year passed, and I was through that area again when the wife of the minister called me on the telephone. And she said, "Pastor, Would you come and have lunch with us? Of course I will, I said, and went to eat lunch. As soon as I arrived at the cafeteria, she said, oh, she got married. She got married? Who got married? Do you remember that girl that you prayed for? You asked her to write down those 10 points? She got married. Yes, I remember. What happened? That particular summer at the church, one high school music teacher came in with a quartet, staying in that church for a week to carry out a singing revival. He was a single man, and all of the young girls were crazy about it. They wanted to date him, but this guy was nonchalant to those young girls. Yet, he was fascinated with this other person, and he was always hanging around her. I'm talking about the one who prayed now. And before he left, he asked her, would you marry me? Eventually, she not so reluctantly gave her consent. They were happily married in the church, and on their marriage day, her mother took that paper written with the 10 points and read it publicly to the people. Then she tore it up because that faith prayer had been answered. What am I saying? To get our home, we spell out everything we wanted on it. And now we're just spelling out another one. Because now the walls are too small. But now, also to get her job, spell it out on a card. We tried to find him just before I came because God gave this to me just before we came. And I couldn't find him. But every time, we were specific. Now, did that help your confidence just a little bit? Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have. Look out, men. We got they're gunning now. They're gunning. What am I saying? You're not waiting on God. Have the faith that takes and not the faith that wait. She had been waiting 10 years. Waiting on God. She wasn't waiting on God. God was waiting on her. When you write a grant, try to write one and don't be specific. You will not get a dime. They will send it right back to you. Got it? It shall be granted to you. If you're here, praise God. If you're here and you need some prayer answered, praise God.